Fran's going to come and do the reading.
Our reading today is Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 18. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Paul is coming up now to share God's word with us.
Okay, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, so much for your word, your precious word, that we can listen to, that we can read, that we can study. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, this part of your word would inspire us, that you would speak to us through your Spirit from this word, and that our lives would be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you about a lady called Andrea. She was a neighbour of ours in Dorking, and she was a bit of an eccentric. But when she died, she wanted everybody in Dorking to know about it. Everybody. And so her decision was that she was going to have her hearse on the back of a horse-drawn carriage. It was going to be white, and the horses were going to be plumed and, you know, really decorated and all that kind of stuff, so that everybody in Dorking knew that Andrea had died. And it happened. The whole of Dorking saw this cortege go right through Dorking town centre to the cemetery just outside. Yeah, everybody knew that Andrea had died. She was drawing her attention to herself even in death. And this passage that we're looking at is all about how the king instructs his kingdom people to a hidden spirituality that never draws attention to itself. Now, my life is divided into two parts, music and ministry. Music, the first part, was all about me performing in front of people and me getting the applause. Yay! Well done, Paul! Look at Paul! Listen to Paul! I discovered fairly early on in ministry that ministry wasn't about me. It wasn't about me getting the applause. It was about the Lord getting the applause. And I found that really hard, I have to say, because my first part of my life was all about me getting the applause and then becoming a Christian and going to ministry. It wasn't about me. And this is what Jesus is getting at. Don't do your acts of righteousness to be seen and approved by men, but do them only for the approval of God. And being a good first-class preacher, Jesus repeats himself three times to underscore this main thread of his teaching. In the giving, when you give to the needy, don't shout about it. In praying, when you pray, don't let on to others you're doing it. Go into a secret place and pray. And with fasting, when you fast, keep it secret between you and God. A hidden spirituality. And this is radical. This is really radical. Let's not minimize how radical this is. In a world of self-importance, of self-promotion, Jesus says it's not about you. We've just had Red Nose Day, haven't we? Do you remember Red Nose Day? And all the way through the program, we're told this person has given this and that organization has given that. And look how much they have given. And look where we are now. And Jesus says, it's not about that. It's not about you. It's not about how much you've given. It's unnecessary. We live in the bizarre world, well, I find it bizarre world, of celebrity Christians. Celebrity Christians, where we go and hear a famous Christian because they're famous or infamous. And Jesus says, it's not about you. And let's face it, we all want to be known. We all want to be recognized. We all want to be commended by others. Isn't that why we're on our phones all the time? Let's see how many messages I've got. Let's see how many likes or dislikes I've got. Yes, we all want to be known and loved and identified. But Jesus says this. He said, it's not about us. Let it be enough, and this is the other side of this, let it be enough that your heavenly Father knows you. Your heavenly Father recognizes you and commends you. And so Jesus here is advocating for us a hidden spirituality that is true life, true religion, and true freedom. Let's look at this in a little bit more detail. Firstly, this is about a hidden recognition. Hidden recognition. We've got a lovely children's storybook at home called The Mouse's Tale. And it's about a little mouse who goes through the forest telling his fellow animals that Jesus is coming back soon. And he tells the badger, and he tells the squirrel, and he tells the birds. But the squirrel and the badger and the birds, they're not interested. And the mouse is really sad. Really sad, until Jesus comes to talk to him. And Jesus says, it's okay. It's okay. I know what you're doing. I can see what you're doing. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I'm pleased with you, little mouse. And that's enough. Do you remember the town crier? Do you remember the town crier? Well, we did have a town crier in Dorking, and I remember experiencing it once. And it was during the beginning, it was the beginning of the November, because it was always November, the gala night of November, pre-Christmas. And this smartly dressed, mayoral-like figure stands in the street and shouts really loudly, "The Christmas gala is open!" So that everyone knew it and everybody heard him. And in Jesus' day, the givers to the needy needed everybody to know that they were giving their money. And so what did they do? They each had, get this, a professional trumpeter. Yeah. That just before they came onto the scene and started giving, look what I'm going to give. Yeah. The trumpeter's job was to tell everybody how generous that person was. And so for everybody to look at that person and say, look at him. Jesus says, no. Similarly, to be noticed, people found a way of praying in such a way that it was really special and memorable. And it had to be elaborate and ostentatious, very ostentatious and very clever. 5-syllable words had to be used. And people heard these people praying and they're going, oh, they're very good, aren't they? What wonderful words, what wonderful expressions they're using to pray. And so in the local news it would be, next time you're in the city, come and see Rabbi Stein pray such beautiful, eloquent prayers. It's quite a spectacle. You must come and hear him and see him. And then with fasting. Now, fasting is a good and healthy spiritual discipline. If you've never tried it, if you want to focus on the Lord just for a period, fasting is a brilliant way of focusing on the Lord. I'm not going to go into that now, but I'm just going to say that. But not the way the religious people of Jesus' day went about fasting. To show others how serious and devoted they were to God, they'd pull faces. They'd pull faces. They'd look scrappy and dirty. They'd mess up their hair, because most of them did have hair, not like me. They'd even rub ashes on their skin so that people would see them. Look how devoted they are. Jesus says, no. See, what they're doing is they're lusting after recognition. They're craving for recognition. They're hungering after recognition from other human beings. And Jesus says, no. When you pray, go into the secret place and let it be about just you and me. When you fast, don't do what they do. Instead, look normal, act normal, dress normal, go about your business in a normal way. And when you give, let it be enough that God knows what and why you gave. Other than the treasurer of the church, of course, then they know. And this is why Jesus says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What on earth is that? Do you know what that's about? Anybody? Any clue? Right, hang on a minute. Well, I like this interpretation for what it's worth. I think it's in line with the teaching of Jesus. Put simply, it's an encouragement towards absent-mindedness or forgetfulness. So, let me illustrate. I'm preaching today. Okay? Come Tuesday, quite possibly tomorrow, or even later on today, if any of you were to come to me and say, Paul, can you remember what you preached on? I'm probably more likely to say, haven't got a clue. Haven't got a clue. See, what Jesus is advocating here is, when you give, forget it. Forget it. Just be absent-minded about it. Put it away in a box. Just, you've done your job. Just forget it. Because when we do that, there's not going to be any time. There's not going to be any hint of, look what I've done. There's not going to be any time for that. Because we've forgotten it. And we're thinking about the next thing. And we won't be tempted to tell. The only audience that we're to be interested in is that God has seen and God has recognized us. We learn to forget, and we put it in the past. So it's about a hidden recognition, the only recognition God's people are looking for. And I know this is hard, is to have the smile of God, to have the pleasure of God. Number two, it's a hidden spirituality that delights in a hidden ritual, that delights in a hidden ritual. Go into your room, into your secret place, shut the door, and pray to your heavenly Father, who will see in secret, and he will reward you in secret. Now, for those of you who don't know, we've just moved to another rental property, and it's lovely, and we're really happy with it. It's smaller, it's cozier, it's warmer, it's newer, it's lovely. But there is one small problem. One small problem. If Mo is in one room and I'm in another and Mo's on the phone, I can hear everything she's saying. Everything she's saying. There's no, if Mo wanted to have a secret affair, not that she would. She'd never get away with it. You know, she was on the phone last week to a car mechanic, and afterwards she started telling me what he'd said. And I said, no, darling, no, you don't, no, stop. Because I've heard every word you said and every word he said. I know what you're going to say. But this teaching on a hidden spirituality extends to prayer, to the ritual of prayer. Shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, so the only people who hear is you and him. And we allow that to be enough. We're talking here about, or Jesus here is talking about, the depth, the hidden depth of prayer. Now let me illustrate in this way. Just imagine an iceberg, a huge iceberg. Imagine the tip of the iceberg that you see above the water. Okay? And the tip represents all the Christian things we do. All of them. Be they at church or in the street or at home or at work. The tip represents everything we do as Christians. The acts of service, the sung worship, our prayers, our giving, using our spiritual gifts, evangelism, mission, charity work and so on. Being a witness at hospital or at work or at school. Being a good friend, a caring parent. Now we go deeper into the sea. To the iceberg that is not seen. To the unseen. To the secret place. And we ask these questions. What's behind all those things we're doing? Where's the motivation? Where's the impetus coming from? Where's the desire, the courage, the love coming from? Is it coming from the depth of the prayer life that we have? Because Jesus seems to be saying that if there is a depth of prayer, then the motivation for what we do will be close to being right. Because we've had a private conversation with our Heavenly Father. It'll come closer to being not about us, but about Him, glorifying Him. It'll be about honoring Him, not us getting the recognition and the praise. It won't be about us seeking honor for ourselves. It'll be more about seeking honor for Him. And it all starts in the secret place with this hidden ritual of prayer. Do we see how different this ritual is to what I described earlier on? Jesus is making a strong and stark contrast. Instead of going out into the street, showing off to everyone how spiritual we are, going out there, no, Jesus says, go into your room and let it be about you and God. Let it just be about that. That's enough. Because the Lord sees and the Lord is pleased. And then finally, this hidden spirituality looks for a hidden reward. For a hidden reward. I loved getting the applause as a musician. You know, it's like, it's worth it. The practice was worth it. The hard work of 3 or 4 hours a day practicing was worth it. But this reward is greater and this reward is better and more wonderful to be rewarded by our Heavenly Father who sees in secret. Now, we love rewards, don't we? Who loves a reward? Come on, everybody put your hand up. No, okay, whatever. I mean, Boots gives rewards, doesn't it? Tesco, Sainsbury's, you know, employers give bonuses occasionally for hard work, a kind of reward. But what about this reward? Our Heavenly Father who sees in secret will reward you. That sounds a great incentive to me to pray in the secret place, to experience and receive His reward. But let's be honest. Okay, let's be honest. Secret prayer isn't hip, is it? It's not cool, is it? Not really, is it? To be honest. I mean, yeah, doesn't hit the headlines. Most of us find it difficult, if we're honest. We'd rather be doing rather than praying. Now, Jesus, interestingly, doesn't say specifically what the reward or the rewards are. But let me give you a few suggestions, and they're all from Scripture. First, the reward of privilege. The reward of privilege. The privilege of being with our Father in heaven. To sit with Him. To be with Him. God said to Abraham, don't be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your great reward. God is Abraham's reward. God Himself. This is a wonderful privilege. Never mind it being boring and we don't know what to say or do. Or we get these long lists, you know, of what to pray about. It's just an enormous privilege to be in the presence of our Father in heaven, isn't it? I mean, we have confidence through Jesus Christ to enter in the most holy place, to have access to our Father in heaven. We have free entry. The cross has made it possible. We can have a conversation, we can have a relationship, but it's a wonderful privilege. That's reward number one. Reward number two, the reward of peace in his presence. We're told that to be well-adjusted, healthy people, and I'm sure all of us here are well-adjusted, healthy people, right? Yeah? Not sure? Okay. Well, to be a healthy and well-adjusted, we need to be around good and positive people. Good and positive, uplifting people. People who encourage us. People who lift us, who will help us, who will value us, who will make us laugh and make us smile. I mean, Moan had a great time with the Fords on Christmas Day. I mean, we'll never forget that time. We had such a hoot over coffee. Such laughter. We'll have to show a clip of it, won't we, one day. It was just hilarious. But God's presence is the most positive, beneficial, healthy place to be. When we go into the secret place, because he brings hope, he brings wholeness, he gives peace, he provides for us. He cares for us so we can cast our burdens on him. Yeah, Mo and I are still waiting for our flat to be sold. Yeah. But we're still going into the secret place. We're still receiving his peace. We're still receiving his hope. We don't often hear an audible voice. But we're still going there. That's privilege number two. Number three, the reward of prayer answered. The reward of prayer answered. You see, this is just so simple to me, but at the same time, really hard for us. The more we spend time in the secret place, the more our prayers will align with his desires for us. The more we will pray for his will be done in our lives, as we listen to what he's saying to us, as we spend time with him. You see, there's no coincidence to me that John 15, which is all about abiding in the presence of Jesus, is preceded by John 14, in which Jesus promises that whatever we ask in his name, he will give us. 14 and 15 together. The more we abide in his presence, the more our prayers will align with his will, and therefore they will be answered. Number four, the reward of reassurance. When our time is done here on earth, in glory, the Father will know us. He will know us because we've given time to know him, to get to know him, to listen to him, to hear him, to feel his presence. And no amount of good deeds will ever replace that. So when we die, you go, oh, hello, Paul, or hello, Vanessa, or hello, you know, give your name to it, you know. Because we've been developing that relationship. He knows us. Good and faithful servant. And then the fifth reward. And I've just hinted at that. The reward of hearing his voice. The reward of hearing, I don't know about you, we hear lots of voices today in social media, the news, in churches. Okay? I think this and I think that and I think we should do this and I think we should do that, blah, 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 blah. But the reward of hearing the Father's voice in this quiet place, to hear him call our name, to say, hello, Paul, it's nice to see you. Or hello, David, or Celia, or Ian, or Sue, or whatever. I mean, to hear him say, go that way. To hear him say, well done. To see him say, hold on. To hear him say, you're doing okay. I'm with you. Yeah. This is radical stuff. In a world where people want to be seen and known and heard and applauded and followed. Let's just go back to Jesus. Jesus never wanted fame. Never wanted fame. Certainly not from a human point of view. You know, when he performed these wonderful deeds that he did, he often used to say, don't tell anybody. Now, there are other reasons for that, but he never wanted fame. He only ever wanted to please his heavenly Father. Only ever wanted that. He only ever wanted that recognition. So we're drawing to a close right now. Band, if you'd like to come forward. So what? Let it be enough. But whatever we're doing in the service of God, it be enough that God knows, that God sees. And let's be alert to the temptation of wanting to be heard and noticed. I remember watching the end of a One Show episode once, and a very fine and influential vicar had been on. I'm not going to tell you who he was, because you'd recognize the name. But as the final credits started to roll, you could see this vicar trying to get to the front of the picture doing this. What's your prayer life like? Let me make this suggestion. For a while at least, put your prayer lists away and get to know your Heavenly Father. Put your prayer lists away. And get to know your Heavenly Father. Contemplate him. Meditate on him. Listen to him. Wonder at him. Get to know him deeply in this secret place. Practice forgetfulness. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And just as you go upstairs, I know this is of a certain age now, you know, you go upstairs to do something, you go, hang on a minute, why did I go upstairs? Can't remember that. Do that with your act of service. And then finally, remember Jesus. Look to Jesus. Consider Jesus. Because as I've already said, in all that he did, he only ever did it for one thing. To honor his Father. And to hear his Father's voice say to him, you are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. Or in my translation, I'm so chuffed about you.